Here's Daryl Sittler. 40 years? What the hell happened to the last 40 years, Sittler?
Hey, guys.
I can't. I mean, are you? I like this. Blow your mind that you're looking at, looking down and saying, "I'm going to be they're going to celebrate me or honor me at the game tomorrow night." Virtually 40 years after this happened, it just feels like, you know, yesterday, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but it's nice to still hold the record after 39,000 and some games, but in the National Hockey League, it's, you know, it's pretty special.
You're going to hold the record for the till the end of time.
Well,
not just yours and mine, but everybody's. I got news for you.
Well, if they make the nets bigger and take the goalie equipment off, you never know. Eh?
Don't worry, Daryl. That won't happen, so you're safe for now. But when you talk about it, when you consider the players that followed you into the league, like Wayne Gretzky, like Mario Lemieux, and the scoring that occurred all through the 80s, it is quite remarkable that the 10 points has stood up, isn't it?
Yeah, I keep saying that. Like Wayne Gretzky, I think, had 8-3 times, which is unreal, and Mario, I think, had 8-3 times. So the fact that 9 and 10, those were the guys I always thought that would have a shot at. They were getting over 200 points a season back then. But here we are, like you say, 40 years later. It's going to be fun tonight. Dave Reese, as you mentioned earlier, is going to be in town, so it'd be good to share some time and experiences with him, which is kind of cool. Plus, they've invited any player that played in that game. They were welcoming him back tonight, so they're going to introduce a bunch of guys, which haven't seen some of them for quite a while.
I'm only guessing, but have you seen Reese or talked to Reese at all in the last 40 years?
There was a time, I think it was either the 25th or 30th anniversary of a TSN had us on doing an interview live way back then, but I haven't talked to him since then. So it'll be fun tonight. He's a good sport to come in and come out to center ice and drop the puck.
Now, Daryl, yesterday on the show we talked about the missing tape of Super Bowl I.
There you go.
I am told that if there is one copy of your game, it's in the hands of one Daryl Sittler. Is that true?
Well, we talked about that before, I think, John, a couple of years ago.
Yep.
I did have a tape, and I can honestly tell you I don't know where it is.
Oh, my God.
I got it put on the VHS a number of years ago, back in the early 2000s. I watched it. The last time I watched it was back then. I've moved a lot of times. I thought it was in an area where I have a bunch of other tapes, and for some reason I haven't been able to find it. And that's not to say somebody stole it or whatever, but you know, I'm still hoping at some point it'll show up somewhere that somebody put it, and I don't know where they put it.
I have heart palpitations. I mean, this is the type of stuff I live for, as you well know.
Yeah,
and
well,
I mean, holy smokes, Daryl.
I'm pretty disappointed about it myself that, you know, it wasn't there when I went looking for it. But, hey, who knows, it'll come up. But the good thing is they got the footage of all the goals and the sound of that. So, I mean, that's the story of the tape. You know, wish it was different, but it's not.
I wonder, like, you and I share a few things in common I'm just discovering here. There are a handful of tapes that I've kept over the years or thought I'd kept, and I don't keep very much stuff, but I kept the last interview I did with Muhammad Ali, the last interview with Bear Bryant, which turned out to be, well, the last interview of Bear Bryant's life, as it happened, and the last interview with Ali before he retired. And they're gone. I don't know where they went. And like you, it was in a move. You know, I thought I put all these tapes in boxes. I took them to the new house. You don't unpack all the boxes right away. You figure, tapes. We'll just leave them there. I don't need them right now. Then somebody was asking about them. I said, oh yeah, I got them at home. I went and looked for them. Couldn't find the boxes.
And then you start to panic and you start to think of, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night and I go looking for where I thought they might be, and. You know, I mean, I'm still open. I mean, I've got stuff still up at my cottage at different places, but I don't know. I mean, hey, it is what it is, so.
Tell me you have the silver tea set.
Oh, yeah, I got the silver tea service.
Okay.
Yeah, that was very nice of Harold to do that. It was back then, it was, I don't know, 100 and some years old, so it's added another 40 years to it. The beautiful service tray that it's on, inscribed and engraved by Harold, and then obviously
really?
The set itself, but... I don't use it a lot, but we've got it. It's an heirloom, and I'm sure my kids and grandkids hopefully will continue to remember the memory because of it, you know. I'll tell you today, guys, today's a special day for me. It's February 4th, 31 years ago today. My dad had a heart attack in the morning and it passed away. And so Tiger and I went up to my hometown of St. Jacobs today, visit Tiger back there, visit my father's grave, tombstone. But then tonight, here we are celebrating the 40th anniversary.
Wow.
My kids and my grandkids will all be here tonight. And so it's a special day. But the other thing, I just got off the ice downtown Toronto, 120 Adelaide Street, skating on that 28th floor.
Oh, in the Molson rink.
It was phenomenal. Tiger was out with me, a few of the alumni. It's been a beautiful sunny day. So, and then to go down to the Air Canada Centre tonight, couldn't be a better day for Daryl.
Just
there, so.
Also tell me that David didn't drive the car out to St. Jacobs. Make sure
David
you were driving.
No, he was busy doing his business on his his iPhone there, you know.
So I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the logo change. You know, we had the president on yesterday, talked about it. I know you've seen it. It's very reminiscent of a logo with which you're probably familiar. What do you think?
Well, I like it. I mean, I guess with the 100th anniversary coming up, there's reason to make a change. And I think they've obviously put a lot of thought into it, looking at the history and tradition and all those great teams back in the 30s, 40s, 50s to do a culmination and to bring it out. I mean, Brendan and all of them down there, they have a lot of respect for the tradition and the history in the past, and they want to instill that in the current guys and moving forward, and want to build a team that someday will be similar to those teams back then, that the fans can say, hey, they were part of a championship. So I think it's good. The 100th anniversary, obviously there's going to be lots of attention to that and for them to bring out the new logo, and I think they did a good job of it. They kept it, fairly conservative of past logos, and I like it.
You know, for many people listening, the team that you played on, that Johnny McClellan was your first coach, Red coached a great deal of the time. The Toronto Maple Leafs meant a great deal to them, and that's one of the reasons I think that you have never been forgotten here in Toronto. Are you amazed as much as some of us are that the shelf life that your team, you and Errol and Lanny, I mean, they're people that can recite your whole lineup of what you guys meant to this city?
It's nice. I mean, I'm 65 now, and the rest of the guys are obviously in their 60s, and I think it was the type of team that our fans could really relate to. Team with guys with a lot of character, colorful guys like Tiger and Mike Bomaterre, Hall of Famers like Lanny and Boria, and without winning a cup in that period of time, there was some hope and some excitement, and then the whole Broad Street Bullies, the Flyers, those series, I mean, the emotion that was brought to it and knocking the Islanders out when we weren't expected. So the fans of that era, clung on to that, and I think if they look at the character of the people who played on that team that they really like as not only players but as people. So it's nice.
And you still had, and I go back to going into Maple Leaf Gardens and the Wood Street entrance. You guys still had a great deal of contact with the fans.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's totally different now where guys come in, they get the car washed and everything's done for them, and, their meals are basically inside the Air Canada Centre, and that's just changed. It's just, a progress that has been made where, I mean, back then, too, we took a lot of commercial flights where we'd fly out to L.A. or Vancouver, and you're on an Air Canada commercial flight, so a lot of the players, it's all charters now. They know how to get protected within the building, and so it was totally different, yeah, for sure.
In reflection, I mean, do you spend much time thinking about your hockey career? It has been a while now, Daryl.
Well, you know what? Every year around this time, obviously, the fans and the media bring it up with the 10-point game because it's, once in a while, like a few years ago, Gagne got 8, so then it resurfaces again. So
right.
It's nice. The Canada Cup goal, I'm looking forward to the World Games here in Toronto. But I look back, that's 40 years ago, the Canada Cup
right.
goal. That was the only championship team I was on, but to represent Canada and to score that big goal. So those sorts of things are nice. This book out, My Leaf Sweater, it's a children's book that a lot of, grandpas and parents buy for their young child to read, bedtime story, and it's about my 10-point game. And even though I've been retired all these years, a lot of these kids, I'm their favorite player because it's the story that's read to them every night. You know, so that stuff's all cool. Did I think it was going to be that way when I retired or even when I scored the 10 points? No, but hockey is so popular and so meaningful to, you know, not only Toronto but Canadian fans. So guys like myself benefit from the popularity, which is nice.
So we know Dave Reese was in goal for Boston. Do you remember who your goaltender was that night?
Yeah, Wayne Thomas. He's going to be in town, and backup was Gordy McRae. And I know, John, I heard you talking earlier. Dave Reese actually played 13 or 14 games, so it wasn't his only game, but it was his last game. There you go.
As you well know, Darryl, I get Grapes' side of the story. So yeah.
he actually had two shutouts in the National Hockey League. So there you go.
There you go. Hey, you touched on the Canada Cup in '76, and you talk about your only championship. But it was probably the greatest amalgamation of hockey talent in the history of the game when you think about it, with Bobby Orr and Denny Potvin and all those guys. I mean, it was a remarkable bunch of all-stars put together to win that tournament, wasn't it?
Well, for sure. And I think if you add it all up, there were 18 or 19 guys going to be Hall of Famers. So, yeah, there was Bobby Hall was there at the end of his career, Bobby Orr. He was the player of the tournament, and then young guys like Marcel Dion and Denny Potvin, like you said, Serge Savard, Larry Robinson. So it was a great, great team. And that's not taking anything away. I mean, with the Gretzky era and Lemieux, those were great teams too, but that 76 team was pretty special. Scotty Bowman, Don Cherry coaching, you know, kind of cool.
Well, listen, enjoy this. I'm sure there'll be a 50th anniversary of this, and that'll be special too, but it's remarkable to me that 40 years have gone by. It just seems like yesterday. I was at the beginning of my career. You were in the early stages of yours, and it was quite a memorable night. Enjoy all the festivities this weekend.
And find the tape, Darryl.
Well, if
find
I find
the
it,
tape.
You'll be the first guy I call if I find it, John, and you can come over and watch it.
I'll
bring the beer with you, that's all.
That will not be a problem, sir.
Okay.
Thanks, Sid.